Garner Ted Armstrong.
Age of this very way of life in all of society. And most people are succeeding pretty well in doing it. And they're killing themselves as a result. My friends, you're living in unusual times. You're not living in normal days. There's never been a world like this before. On the big scene is a world literally divided against itself, a world locked in the throes of a greater struggle compounded far more times than that which gripped the major nations during the last closing moments of World War II, believe it or not, because the stakes are so much greater that it's incomprehensible. A world that is running rampant in racial, venomous hatreds and antagonisms unparalleled in the time of man. A world where we like to kid ourselves we are scientific and advanced, but a world where cannibalism, a world where out-and-out rampant paganism of the lowest and the most base brand is still rampant in many a nation on the face of this earth, a world of crime, a world of divorce, a world of unhappiness, a world of social change, a world of disturbed, if that's the word, children, a world of unhappy homes, a world of full wallets and empty lives, at least in portions of the world, but still a world of poverty, a world where the average man has no roof over his head, where the average man does not wear shoes, where the average man lives to be 29 years of age, a world of death, a world of destruction, a world of disappointment. Now we can kid ourselves, we can say, boy, what is this? Just what on earth is this? The latest sundowner? The latest prophet of gloom and doom? Is this the latest voice that is crying about how everything is bad and flee from the evil to come? Oh, no, I know it's a nice sunshiny day here and there. I know there are a lot of real pleasant residential sections. I've seen them. I know there are still a lot of people who are living what they might say a fairly normal life. And those are the people to whom I'm speaking right now. Because the fellow I'm talking about, who is the average man with no roof and no clothes, also has no radio. And you know, the very factors of our modern way of living are themselves so poignant and point up some problems so gigantic that it's time you, for a few moments, threw away your rose-tinted glasses of unreality, that escapism we all seek to enjoy, and took a good, long, critical look at the way this world really is today, and then ask yourself, what will it be like tomorrow? You are living your personal life, probably with a certain partial sense of direction, and yet in the larger sense, not knowing exactly what lies beyond. Whether you are the head of the family, whether you're the wife, the child, whether you're a working man or a housewife, whether you are a professional man or high in government, it makes no difference. What is your life? What are you? Where are you going? Where will you be yourself doing what in the next 10 years? In the next 15 years? Are you planning a future? Are your children able to look forward with a real driving sense of destiny to their future education, their future jobs? Is the world going to go on and on with just minor changes, ups and downs, but we'll still be here, going along, having a lark, having a great big banquet, a wonderful ball, as they say in Western vernacular and terminology, having a real party. Life is a great big party, people think. Will it be that way in 1982? Will it be that way in 1995? In 2016, will your grandchildren be living in a world of stability, integrity, a world of unity and harmony, a world of productivity, of health, of good weather, of peace among nations? Or do you dare ask yourself these questions? Aren't you a little bit afraid of what the answers might be? Now, don't get mad at me because I tell you to think about it. I didn't make the world the way it is, but the point is, neither did you. You are a sort of a victim of circumstances. You're a helpless bystander. You take a look at the world the way it is, and if you're like most people, you don't like what you see. And if at the same time you're like most other people, you know that there's not very much you can do about what you see. So again, like most other people, you decide to forget about it all. You decide, since there's sort of a hopeless, helpless feeling of being unable to change it very much, and any little thing you may say, think, or do would contribute only in a very minor fashion in trying to change this upside-down, tumble-down, haphazard, disorganized society of ours, you just decide to drift off into your own private little niche and sort of pull your own little part of the world in after you and forget about all the rest of it. Now, that's what most people are doing today. And that's why the world is the way it is exactly, is because most people are living the way of the line of least resistance. They're living the way that comes naturally and normally. They're living the way of emotion. They're living the way of human, accidental, emotional, impulsive choice. And they're trying to get nothing but sensual thrills and pleasures. They're trying to get what they might call happiness. They're trying to enjoy life. And as a result, the world the way you know it and the world the way it is. Yes, just how much pleasure can you pack into a little weed wrapped in paper? How much fun is there in a dinner, in a movie? What do you have when it's over? Now, not that every one of these things, dinner and various other social things, may always be wrong. Because pleasure in the right way, for the right purpose, that doesn't kick back on you later and builds up instead of destroys, is a right and a good thing. But, my friends, is there anything beyond? Is there something more to life than just a certain frantic pleasure binge? J. Edgar Hoover, director of the FBI, was asked in an interview about crime in the United States, of what would be the one most dangerous aspect of the picture. But you know, the picture in Australia is just about as bad, and the picture in Great Britain in some ways is worse, in some ways not quite as bad, perhaps, as the United States. In northwestern Europe, in nations such as Italy and Spain, crime is beginning to run rampant and to break all known records of past years. Youngsters today are seeking a so-called new morality. But in truth, it isn't a new morality. It is an immorality. It's a breaking down and a kicking over of old barriers and standards. An unabated search for sensual thrills and pleasures of the attitude of I will get mine while the getting is good because I'm not sure I will be here tomorrow to enjoy it. And if you're not awfully careful and maybe a different kind of a person, that may be exactly the way you are living life. Oh, my friends, is there any source to which you can go to find out what life is all about? Are you doomed to wander intellectually, philosophically, spiritually, morally, through the labyrinths of the maze of the wanderings of the demented minds of former so-called greats who wrote in their worm-eaten, dust-covered volumes so long ago about what they thought was the destiny and the purpose in human experience on this earth? Would you compare Kant and Plato and Epictetus and Aristotle and try to get something that made sense out of it all? Is that your guiding light? Is that what and who you are? Is that where you are going? Could you prove whether or not you came from lovesick amoeba, green ocean slime, gibbons, orangutans, and mandrills, or whether or not you came from a creator God who made man and put him on this earth? Is the book of Genesis, for example, the first book of the Bible, a totally fictitious, mythological, unscientific collection of mumbo-jumbo of an ancient race that sought only to answer the questions of its questing children and had no scientific answers? Or is the book of Genesis absolute, and can you prove it? Are the statements of science about the hundreds of millions of years it took man to come down from the trees or to develop lungs and crawl out upon the land true? Or can you prove God exists and man was put on the earth and put here for a purpose? Well, you'll be amazed when you write for these free booklets I've been announcing on almost every program, Does God Exist and the Proof of the Bible? And get it for yourself. Now, the most people just simply don't take that trouble. I meet people once in a while that tell me they've been listening for 24 years. It always amazes me. I know a lot of people have listened to this program longer than I have, and I mean that because they have been listening to it a lot longer than I ever paid any attention to it. Now, all of a sudden, here I am doing the broadcasting, and it seems such a short time ago. Many people are what you'd call cautious, like the fellow who wrote in said he'd been listening since 1934 and thought maybe he'd better ask for the Plain Truth magazine. You talk about a cautious man. That was a cautious man, all right. It took him all those years to get around to checking it. All that time, he thought, well, maybe, maybe not, maybe, maybe not. He must have said that to himself millions of times, but didn't take the trouble to check it for himself. Meantime, I suppose life went along impulsively, emotionally, accidentally, poorly thought out, no real solutions, but because, you know, the average person never takes the time to sit down and ask the question in the first place. Now, I suppose a lot of people immediately hide behind the old adage, ah, who does he think he is? That's easy. It's real simple. It's the simplest tool known to man outside of balling up a fist and making a club out of it and trying to swing at somebody. And, of course, even leaders in government are not beyond that nowadays, are they? But it's the easiest old guise in the world is to say, ah, who does he think he is? Because, you see, if you can't answer a matter with the mind, if you have no proof, no statistics, no evidence, if you have no real absolutes, no collection of facts, and you know they are facts, and you can prove them, and you can reach the mind of another human being, the easiest thing in the world to do is to pull over your eyes the old blinder of, oh, who does he think he is? In other words, ridicule. If you can't answer a matter with the mind, and it doesn't make sense to you, ridicule it, abuse it, curse it, hate it, turn your back on it. That's the easiest way to do it. Of course, it's the dishonest way. It's the coward's method, but it's also real simple. Now, many people choose that. They don't do it deliberately. They don't sit down and think it out that way. They don't say, well, this is my choice. I can ridicule this man. And I can say, well, that's ridiculous. Or I can think, well, why don't I wait and make up my mind later? Why don't I at least look into it, sort of like I had a pair of scales here, and I'll put what I believe on one side, and I'll ask myself how I came to believe it and where I got it, and that'll sort of balance the scales down here in my favor. And then I will begin to put the evidence that I can get free of charge on the other side, and I'll see how it comes out. At least I'll be willing to look into it. Well, as I said, this one fellow was real cautious. He waited, I forget how many years, but why don't you just look into it for yourself? Get at the very heart and the trunk of the tree of the biggest questions in life. What is man? Why are we on this earth? Why is the world the way it is? And how did it get this way? And where are we headed? Just what really is in the future? Is man going to succeed in learning how to live together racially, morally, religiously, nationally, politically? Is he finally going to populate Mars and the moon? Are we going to go on to new and broader horizons? Are we going to fulfill the slogans of the speeches of the State of the Union? Are we going to finally find that great pot at the end of the rainbow? That utopian era of splendor and bliss where all people have everything their hearts could desire? Or are we headed for some darker middle age? Are we headed for some more sinister, more horrible time of animalistic, grunting beings living in caves on a cinder hulk and sort of starting all over again? What is ahead? Now, most people's minds are filled with jangling Watusi beats, or they're filled with a lot of hideous science fiction novels, or they're filled with the latest TV gunshot sort of a thing where 16 flunkies fall off the horse and miraculously the horse is never hit. Our minds, well, you know, I've quoted to you on this program the people who said, look, buddy, if the world's going to come to an end, let it go ahead and come to an end, but please don't disturb me, I am watching Gunsmoke. I mean, people have said it that way. They've come right out and opened their mouths and said it that way. I can't do anything about it, they've said, so don't talk to me about the end of the world. Let it go ahead and come to the end of the world. So what, buddy? I'm busy with my TV set. Well, that merely illustrates the point. Now, you don't have to be any way except the way you want to be. You can be just exactly the way you want to be. You can think or you can decide not to think. But if you're ready to think and if you'd like to get at the basic truths and find out for yourself whether or not there is a purpose in your life, write for these booklets, Does God Exist, and the proof of the Bible, and this booklet on Why Were You Born? Was it, my friends, a good guess centuries ago when the Apostle Paul, in a Bible book which purports to be the very Word of Almighty God, which in itself claims to tell you this is basic, fundamental, immutable, unshakable truth, and there is nothing that is truth beside it. This is the irrevocable truth of Almighty God, and nothing is going to change it. It will be here long after the world itself has perished, said Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, you can know this for sure. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 that in the last days, are these the last days? Well, Jesus Christ of Nazareth sort of put his seal of approval on it. He dated his prophecies. He looked on beyond his day into ours when he said, then, except those days were shortened, there would no flesh be saved. And you have never lived in a time when that would literally be able to be fulfilled. But today, a time when it is now literally possible by four separate methods to annihilate every living creature on the face of this broad earth of ours. Was Christ a good guesser? Or was he accurate? And did he know what he was talking about? Now, the Apostle Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That characterizes society. It characterizes our jobs. It characterizes people's homes and their lives as heads of families and as children. It characterizes the sinister search for self-indulgence and pleasure that is the great gnawing, driving void and the great black empty urge that sort of tickles and piques and drives people onward inside of their own hearts and minds. A sensual search to thrill yourself. That is exactly the way most people live. While their work is only a dull drudgery that they hate every moment of most of the time and just love to get away from it all, to throw off the shackles of that daily duty and get back to enjoying themselves. I see some people working so hard at keeping out of any work that it makes you tired to watch them. I know one man in particular I've been watching here lately. It sort of gets under your hide a little bit. He's supposed to be employed on a particular job, and He stands around and he looks. He leans over the corner and looks down, then he looks away, and then he goes over and picks up a rock or something, then he sits and looks in another direction. He's like as not going to be fishing as working. I suppose someone's paying him a salary. But it's just absolutely amazing. You know, we certainly love ourselves, don't we? Isn't that exactly the way it is? Isn't self-preservation and love of self the biggest driving urge in the minds and the hearts of every human being, unless it's been changed and altered and channeled in a different direction? The Apostle Paul was right. He said, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, and that means that great aching, gnawing desire for things. What about the petty burglary, the automobile theft, the increasing crimes against persons and property of today, where youngsters say publicly that there is no greater thrill than to knock down to the street some little old lady and to grab her purse? Oh, yes, they've said it to policemen. They say, man, that really gives me a big kick. I quoted that right in this program not so long ago. Covetous, where a few dollars to go spend on themselves to buy, what is it, cigarettes, whiskey, dope? You name it, whatever it is to sort of dull the senses, cloud the mind, thrill the flesh, people will today kill for it. They will brutally beat one another for it. They will do anything to obtain a sensual thrill. And the Bible just nailed it down and labeled it for exactly what it is. That base, animalistic, bestial depravity, that gnawing, aching void to satisfy the senses. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. That extra margin of pleasure, that extra little bit of a thrill. You know, that sells today. All those slogans sell like wildfire today. If it really gives you pleasure, if it's fun, people want it. It reminds you of a man sitting with a great, sort of a big bay window and about eight arms and reaching out in all directions for whatever he can poke at himself. A cigarette in both ears, snuff under his eyelid, something up his nose, and something else in his mouth. Eating something, injecting something into him. Stuffing at himself, poking at himself, eyeing, ogling, listening to, doing, whatever tickles the physical senses. A rampant, thrill-crazed, pleasure-hungry age. What a paradox it is. No, I mean it. I mean it. That's exactly the way this world is today. And people's lives are suffering, and they wonder why. Marriages are breaking up, and children are going berserk, and they're called unsettled and disturbed, and you wonder why. Well, in the meantime, he said it would characterize this age, beginning in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. People are religious without necessarily acting so. People have an opinion about the Bible without having proved it. People believe in their own personal hip-pocket version of God, their own private family idol, but they don't know the Creator God of heaven and earth, who gives them every breath of air they breathe, and they have never proved His existence. And therefore they do not stand in awe of Him, they don't fear Him, they don't feel they have to obey Him, and they don't know why they're getting all the kicks and curses and the abuses and the financial failures, the divorce, the sickness, the mental heartache and headache that comes with the unhappiness people are almost, it seems, deliberately foisting upon themselves today. Now, it comes sort of accidentally. They don't mean it to come out that way, but that's the way it works, isn't it? You know, the most dangerous aspect of crime today, it's the breakdown of the home. That's what J. Edgar Hoover said. But the breakdown of the home is not confined to the United States and Great Britain. It's true all around the world, because the home is the building block of society, and that home, the building block of society, is coming tumbling down today. Around the world, families are splitting up, and divorce is the rule of the time. The Hollywood marriage go-around sort of sets the pattern and the standards for people all around the world, and you would be absolutely dumbfounded to realize the great and the tremendous extent to which motion pictures have ruled, have shaped and molded the thought processes of multiple millions of human beings. In the so-called good home today, and it's often not a good home at all with respect to the right kind of training of children, the kind of a stable, fundamental part of the platform of a society it should be. J. Edgar Hoover said in case after case of juvenile crime, which the FBI had reviewed, they found one common factor, and that was parental neglect. And that parental neglect is a direct result of the fulfillment of these prophecies. Parental neglect is simply this, that people today are allowing the unabated, uncontrolled, violent surge for search of pleasure, of loving pleasure, of loving their own selves, instead of feeling any sense of responsibility toward their own flesh and blood, to rule their very minds and hearts. And today, that is the way most people you know, and maybe if you're not careful, you yourself are living. It just is. You can kid yourself about it all day long, and that doesn't change it. People lust today. People are selfish today. People want, they desire. And you can take every single major problem of society and reduce it to one word, and that word is vanity. But some of the facets of vanity are jealousy, lust, hatred, and greed. And when you see the almost animalistic greed and the unabated, unrestrained, lustful desire of human beings to please the self today, and you see it running rampant and reaching its tentacles into every last little root of society, it doesn't take a great genius to understand why our problems. It doesn't take some kind of a mental giant to understand why we've got all of the problems we have today. All you've got to do is to look at the world the way it is and look at life the way people are living it, and the two and two makes four. This world got this way accidentally. It got this way from people doing what comes naturally, from people living in the way that appeals to the average human being. People seeking peace, people seeking the best way, people seeking the right way to live, but doing it cut off from God, apart from God, in rebellion and antagonism toward God, wanting to do it themselves on their own. You need to write for these booklets and find out. Find out for yourself just where does it all begin? What is human life? Why are you drawing breath? Why are you a thinking creature? Why are you on this earth? Are you involved or not involved? Now, the time is going to come in a few more years when I don't care how much you try to pull over your eyes, the pink blinders of dazzling Hollywood thrills and sensual pleasure. Whether you're the fellow that creeps into the bar and sits there and drinks himself into insensibility, whether you're the person that seeks escape in some other, whatever your method of escape, and everybody's got his own. Maybe some people sink into the inner sanctum of their own so-called self-professed hypnotic intellectualism, and they kid themselves they can think about this and that problem and sort of feel self-satisfied. But that's only another escapism. The only way you're going to truly escape is to look at reality and then come to understand it and to ask yourself the basic questions. Is there a great God? Is this world going according to some great overall pattern? And can you go to the source to prove it? Is there definitely, provably, a book, a source that you can lay your hands upon and you can find out it really does have the answers to life? Are you going to go ahead with your prejudices and parrot somebody else's phrase? Like the youngster I told you about who said, well, we must keep coming back to the fact there are no absolutes. He just heard that so often he repeated it, but he never proved it. So write for these booklets. Does God exist? The proof of the Bible. Write for the booklet, Why Were You Born? And here's a vitally important booklet that really gets behind the scene into these influences, the social and the economic factors in family life today, and the combination of the influences that break down homes, and that is the plain truth about child rearing. They are free of charge. There is no price. Send your letter to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. California. Be sure to include the call letters of your station. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.